Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yes! Oh, it is. It is! The 8 o'clock hour of the Alex Dono Show here on WQAM. Texter writes in, also nowadays everyone at UM are just rich New Yorkers. Few everyday Miami kids can actually go. It's too expensive, unfortunately. Yeah, listen, I was lucky. I had tuition remission. Both of my parents work at the U. I was very fortunate financially in that regard that I got to go there for pennies on the dollar. A lot of rich New Yorkers, I can verify that. I went to school with a lot of rich New Yorkers. I also, Hector, one of my buddies, at the U. I wish I'd been closer friends with this person because maybe there could have been a financial benefit. But I actually was friends with a Saudi Arabian prince at Miami. Like, I kid you not. One day this guy would show up in a Lambo. Next day in a Ferrari. Day after that in a really tricked out Range Rover. But that was like his slob car, right? Just like, oh, it's a very casual day. I'm taking the Range Rover today, right? So this guy, I kid you not, you know, I imagine on any college campus, the parking passes are expensive. And they probably only gotten more expensive. Like, I graduated University of Miami 11 and a half, 12 years ago. And I think back then it was like a parking pass was like $250 to $300 a semester. Very expensive parking pass. But still, like, you had to pay for the parking pass. You just had to do it because if not, you're going to get like a $20, $25 parking ticket every day, which is going to add up very quickly. But this Saudi Arabian prince I went to school with, he was so rich, didn't even bother to buy the parking pass, just got a parking ticket every single day. Every single day. Oh, they got my Range Rover with a parking ticket. They got my Lambo, $25 parking ticket. Oh, my Ferrari parking ticket. Collected every single day, 5 days a week he's on campus, parking ticket every single day. I mean, for him, it was like you don't even notice the money is gone from your bank account. So, yeah, I see your point to the tuition stuff. It's fair. It's warranted. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to our buddy Valdez here on QAM. What's up, Valdez?
Hey, Dono. What's going on, buddy?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm all right, Dono. Just chilling, getting ready for the games this weekend. I'm checking out. I've been watching a couple of the games, man, and I don't have any complaints right now. They've been playing good, so there's not much I can say. They're running the ball. They're playing good defense. Can't wait to see what happens this weekend. I would like to see people stop complaining a little bit because I just never understand Dolphins fans. You want to win, but you want to win your way, and if you don't, they don't win your way, you got complaints.
Yeah, I'll tell you something, Valdez. Anybody you know, who's ever done like a Dolphins post game show before, the amount of phone calls you get, it's like literally 10 times more phone calls when they lose versus when they win. It's like when they win a game, it's like, all right, I got nothing to say. When they lose, phone lines are lit up for 4 hours or however long you're on the air. So definitely people, especially Dolphin fans, love to complain.
I know, and you know, and you're still hearing some media guys. They were trashing Tannehill for his game last week against the Jets. But then again, Cleveland plays the Jets. They knock out Tyrod Taylor. There's no film on Baker Mayfield. He comes in and he wins.
Yeah.
And then, but you praise this guy, and I'm like, wait, didn't the Jets turn the ball over twice? And every time they turned the ball over, the Dolphins scored. Like they drove. They went down and scored, so what's the complaint for? Let the man go ahead and play the season out. If he gets to the playoffs, you can't say anything.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, then you go get another quarterback. Who knows what's going to happen with Baker? Baker's probably playing pretty decent ball right now. He'll probably play pretty decent ball for the next couple of games until he gets the big word on him with film, and then we'll see what happens as the season progresses. But till then, you know, hey, just let him play ball and let's have some fun.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about, because admittedly, I don't know if you caught my my opening segment at 6 o'clock, but I was a little bit over the top in my praise for Baker Mayfield. But this is a guy, I loved watching him at Oklahoma. I love watching the energy he brings to that huddle, the way he's always sprinting up to the line of scrimmage, how quick and decisive he is in making his throws. He was throwing a very nice football yesterday. I think Baker Mayfield is the real deal, but to your point, I think any rookie, right, once the film gets out, there's going to be a regression. We're already seeing that happen with Sam Darnold very quickly. I don't know if it happens to Baker that quickly, but you're probably right. The Baker Mayfield we saw last night is not going to be the guy we see over the next 13 games.
Yeah, he might. He has the it factor. I watched it. I sat there and I watched the game, and it's like he let a spark where they actually really, really played some good ball, and they came all the way back. I mean, of course, you know, being a Dolphin fan, it never hurts to watch the Jets lose. So
yeah,
you take it with a great. I don't take it with any. With any disappointment, but you know, I do question that. You know, let's see what happens. You know, I'm waiting to see what the Dolphins do this week. I would like to see them come out and establish the run and run the ball. I want to see them come out and, you know, hit a few passes and then see where it goes. You know, and I hope Ryan gets to have a good game, but who knows? I mean, if he's back from an ACL tear, you know, which he hasn't played in like almost 2 years. So we'll see how he does, but I'm definitely going to watch the game with an eye on it and some enjoyment, win, lose, or draw, and enjoy it.
And I think it's going to be a win. I really do. I'm pretty confident about this Sunday.
You and I both, Dono. You and I both. I hang up and listen. It's good talking to you, buddy. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Felder. It's good talking to you too, man. And I will enjoy my weekend. I'm going to be at Hard Rock Stadium tomorrow for Miami FIU, at Hard Rock Stadium on Sunday for the Dolphins and the Raiders. I think the Raiders are going to be, and they have been so far this year, vulnerable to the rush. I'm not talking about the pass rush so much as I'm talking about their running game. 30th against the run so far. I think Kenyon Drake and Frank Gore could have themselves a day on Sunday. And let's not overlook a couple of pretty simple factors here that the Raiders are going to have to go up against. 1 p.m. game in the South Florida heat. Dolphins will be wearing white. The Raiders have to wear those black jerseys in the South Florida heat. Right there, that's no picnic. And you're the West Coast team coming east for a 1 o'clock game. Your bodies are going to feel like it's 10 a.m. I'm hoping these are factors that the Dolphins can exploit, man. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Wow, how about this text? Because I'd mentioned, Hector, that yeah, I've got my prestigious University of Miami diploma. But at no point in my adult life in getting a job or getting work has anyone, at least not in this business, has anyone asked me, I got to see your diploma before you can work here. Kind of makes you wonder what it's all for, right? I feel like I didn't even have to go to college to do what I'm doing right now. I don't know. It's a weird thing. I'm glad I did go to college. Don't get me wrong. But a texter writes in, to add to your point about what's the worth of a college degree, I'm a teacher with a BS and a master's, but someone who drives the bus, all they have is a CDL license. They make more money than me. That's kind of ridiculous, right? Like, and I'm not saying that, like, the bus drivers don't deserve, like, a good living wage, but don't you feel like the teacher deserves that much or more, probably more?
Yeah, I've heard that all my life with my mom, because she's a teacher, actually. She's been a teacher for 23 years now.
It's a thankless job.
Yeah. And she also was an FIU grad, so.
Look at her.
Yeah. But to his point about that, there's a lot of certifications that you can get out there, which requires, I guess, class, but not to the magnitude of going to FIU, UM, Miami-Dade, and you could be making big bucks, like in construction, for example, you know, like a GC license takes less than a year, and you have a general contractor's license, and you're making thousands and thousands. I have some certifications for what I was working in with MasTec as like fiber optics. You know, certain like OSHA standard certification.
Sure.
And they give you like little pay bumps and stuff.
Wow.
And that helps out. Yeah, all those little certifications, that are like 1 month worth of class or reading and quizzes, and you know, you can get raises with that.
Jeez, I can barely screw in a light bulb. Just so we're clear. No, I mean, I can, but I don't know. I'm not that handy. Frank Zaffrey has ripped me for that before.
Well, I'm not handy either at my job. Now I work for AT&T during the day. All I do is drive by sites and check sites, you know, pass and fail in regards to, like, you know, underground drilling and stuff like that. But it's, like, not rocket science either.
This is kind of a bummer. Texter writes in, it's going to rain Sunday. No heat. Oh, we're letting the Raiders off the hook. God, if we have one more lightning delay at that stadium, I think I'm done. I mean, hey, listen, you can only complain so much about a job where I was getting paid to go attend a sporting event. But that first Dolphins home game with 4+ hours of lightning delay, that became a pretty rough day, right? Especially when you have, I've got responsibilities at home, Hector. I've got a 6-month-old I needed to get home to. He wondered where I was. Where's dad? Where's my father? Did he leave? Where is he? Is he coming back home? I mean, I was gone for like 14 hours that day. My kid thought I'd left forever. I haven't seen any Dolphin quarterback at any point in time since Marino play any quarter at any time like that guy. And he sent that text in like 150 times. Were you afraid that I wouldn't get it? Man. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Let's talk to Eric in Miami. What's up, Eric?
But Donald, you just cracked me up with that light bulb. You're just like me. I don't know how to do nothing.
Seriously, man. It's kind of embarrassing, to be honest with you. It's a little bit embarrassing because, like, there are times where, like, you know, or something in my house breaks, and it's like, I got to, like, go online and pull up a YouTube video on how to fix it. Thank God that YouTube is out there.
Oh, yeah. Especially when you buy, like, a furniture, you got to build it.
Oh, that's the worst.
YouTube is the way to go.
Yeah, like I assembled a couple of months back. It took me like 2 hours. Could have done it and quicker. But I assembled this like a shoe rack, you know, that we have to put all our shoes in. And like my wife is looking at me after I put this whole thing together. And the shoe rack works fine, just so you know. But there's like 5 or 6 screws left over. She's like, what are you doing? I said, oh, there's always parts left over when you put something together. She's like, I don't really know if that's actually the case. But
what about for IKEA? You know, the IKEA sets are pretty complicated for any man who's very handy.
I did that once. Never again. First of all, I'm not a fan of the whole IKEA experience. The store is way too big. I don't even like their meatballs there, to be honest with you. And I bought like a bookshelf from IKEA once. I didn't even know you had to put it together yourself until I was checking out. And it took me like 16 days and like 2 helpers to put it together. Never again will I go to IKEA.
Yeah, listen, when I buy furniture these days, I just, you know, I'll pay the extra $50 or whatever for somebody to come to my house.
It's so worth it.
From the store, and just do it themselves.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
Hey, on the Hurricanes, man, listen, it's Friday this whole week, and this is really starting to get on my nerves. Thank God it's already Friday. But this whole week, I've just been hearing about this so-called pipe dream rivalry, Bay County players between FIU and Miami, and all of you guys are doing, including you, Donald.
Yeah, no, I know it. I know it.
And it's just... Does anybody know there are 26.5-point favor for a reason? There's no rivalry here.
There's no rivalry.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, to what I see, like on social media, I see more of like FIU and Miami fans just bickering. Like I've seen a lot of like FIU fanboys saying, "No, we're more Miami than you are. We're Calle Ocho. You're just a bunch of New York transplants. You guys aren't really Miami." I see a lot of that.
Have you seen those FIU home games? Where are all these fanboys? But they ain't showing up to that stadium. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, they're all watching Miami games on Saturday.
I mean, come on, they're gonna put a whooping on this team, and this is gonna get embarrassing. I mean, I don't get it. God, you guys are giving me a headache. Thank God it's already Friday night. Donna, by the way, did you see the press conference of McGregor? Boy,
that was fantastic.
He knows how to make an entrance, my friend.
He is like, honestly, like, is Conor McGregor the best self-promoter in sports right now? Is there anybody better? Like, honestly, I think he is better at what he does right now than Floyd Mayweather is at this point. Okay, nobody will ever be Muhammad Ali, but let's go, like, living. best self-promoter in sports. I mean, you could try to say it's LeBron James, but he does most of his promotion on the court, plays his team sport, isn't selling pay-per-views. Conor McGregor is the king of selling himself. I don't think anybody does it better than that guy.
Smash me, mate. I can smash you. You say send your send location. Here it is, right here in front of you. I'm right in front of you. Did you not see me at the outside the bus, no? Did you not see me right in front of you outside the f***ing bus? I showed you my hands, no weapons. The first thing when I showed up at that bus, I showed not my hands to let it know. I come here unarmed, no weapons. Step off the bus. You talk the big game, now I'm here. He done f***ing nothing. He sent and took his on that bus, hid, wow, hid and cowered behind f***ing women and caused what happened to happen. So that's f***ing that.
And I feel so bad for Khabib Nurmagomedov, who I think is going to win the fight, by the way. I think Khabib is going to defeat Conor McGregor, but English is not his first language. He's actually a good talker, but he has, you know, very thick Russian accent, very, very slow delivery, because English not my first language. I'm from Dagestan. It's very hard for him to keep up with Conor trash talking wise.
I have a couple questions him. Hey, you ask your friend why he eat sleep. You have to ask him.
Go ahead.
Ask these. I don't have to do nothing for nobody. I'm psycho bred, me. I don't have to lick no one for a chick like you.
I mean, how do you keep up with that if you are a native Russian speaker? Like, there's no way. I would love to hear Connor try and keep up with his trash talk in Russian. But when you're speaking English or whatever that Irish accent is, it's very tough to keep up with that, my friend. Very, very tough. Let's talk with Rick and Davey. What's up, Rick?
What's up, Donald? How you doing?
Good, man. How about you?
I'm good. You know, listening to you talk reminds me of that. You know, you've replaced the punchline. When I was growing up, there was a joke that said, how many Polacks does it take to screw in a light bulb? So now it's what? How many Italians does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm a representative of the Italian people as far as being handy is concerned. I think that's more of just a me thing. I don't know. I don't know if me being barely able to screw in a light bulb means that like an entire, I don't know. I feel like there are some handy people in Italy. A lot of handy people over here. I didn't get the handy gene.
Okay. Well, trust me. I can't make fun of you. I'm not the most, you know, handiest man in the world either. Donald, before I get to the Dolphins, quick question. You're the kind of like a Canes insider. What can you tell me about that kid that was dismissed, that guard, Wilson?
Don't know that much, honestly, which is probably a pretty good explanation as to why he was dismissed pretty easily.
Okay. I saw that on the ESPN ticker, and I'm like, I got to call Donald and maybe see what's going on. But, all right, listen, Donald, you know, I'm with Valdez. I am so tired of these Dolphin fans that aren't happy with anything. I mean, I get angry with the national pundits because, you know, all these national idiots, because that's what I'm going to call them, they said we were one of the worst teams, 3-13, 4-12, at best 5-11. So now we're 2-0, and they're telling us, oh, don't beat your chest. No, I'm not going to apologize for a record. I'm going to apologize for who we beat. This is the NFL. And, you know, what gets me is after week one, And listen, don't get me wrong. I think the Jets finally got it right at quarterback. But what upsets me, Donald, after week one, they were putting that gold jacket on him.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, after 2 weeks of struggling, they make a million excuses for why he's struggling.
Now they wish they had Baker Mayfield.
Thank you. All right? So, you know, these guys in the media and the national media, they just want their cake and eat it too. So they all predicted we were going to be one of the worst teams, but now let's slow down. Let's not beat our chest. No. I'm sorry. I am going to beat my chest because, as you know, I predicted on your show, I predicted on the Big Zero show before the season started, I said 11-5 and we'll be battling New England. And I'm going to stick to it. And right now I'm even looking that final game in Buffalo. I know it might be cold and snowy, but the way Buffalo looks, I mean, we might.
Oh, Buffalo's awful. All we have to do is show up, we win that game.
Yeah, it's not looking like a loss anymore. So, you know, But I'm with Valdez. These Dolphin fans, and it's like any little thing that Tannehill does wrong, they gotta criticize. Like I just saw a stat today: 73% in his first two games. That's fourth in the NFL.
And he's 9-1 in his past 10 starts. Only Carson Wentz and Case Keenum are 9-1 in the last 10. Tommy Brady is 8-2 in his last 10 starts. How about them apples?
Thank you. And, you know, like I tell my friends that you know, are in the Tannehill hating club, I said, listen, he's not going to be a fantasy league darling. He's not. But you know what matters? It's a 2 on the W and the 0 on the L. Donald, you have a good night. Let's go Canes tomorrow.
Let's go Canes. Love that from Rick and Davey. I love how we can agree on the Canes and Dolphins. Come basketball season, he's spewing that Knicks nonsense. I don't want to hear it. But Canes and Dolphins, I'm with Rick on that. The Alex Donner Show continues next here on QAM. And we are all FAU tonight. They just had a lead against UCF, but UCF had a very quick 78-yard drive to retake the lead, 21-17. About 30 seconds to go before halftime there. I'll keep my eyes on that. Just, man, wouldn't it be fun to see the self-proclaimed national champs go down tonight? I don't know why. Like, I have an unhealthy dislike for UCF. I thought the whole thing about claiming to be national champions just rubbed me the wrong way. I wonder what my top three irrational dislikes are. A little bit irrational the way that I despise everything in Cleveland. A little bit irrational the way I despise UCF. Oh, there's got to be something else to go on that list. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Go out to the phone lines. Let's talk to Tony here on QAM. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? How's everything going, man?
Good. How about you?
And you know what? I had to call in after that previous caller. Okay? I'm excited. You know, it's nice that, you know, the Dolphins are 2-0. But they're 2-0. Yeah, be excited. There's a whole 14 games left in the season, okay?
Sure.
Let's get through the game. Let's get through the season. And let's get through the freaking playoffs. Because what good does it do you if you go get into the playoffs? Yeah, it's a nice feeling. You want to win it all. Like Ricky Bobby says, if you ain't first, you ain't last. You're last. Okay? So, yeah, it's a good feeling. It's a happy feeling. But you know what? Our goal should be the mountaintop. That's it. It's either win or bust. And then look forward to next year. We should start getting that feeling like the New England Patriots have. You think New England Patriots get excited by winning the division? No.
I mean, but don't we have to earn that, though? It's like I can understand why Patriots fans feel that way. They're expected to win a Super Bowl every year. I just want to win a playoff game before I start thinking the way you're thinking.
You know what? At every step, if we win the division, hey, you know what? Let's celebrate. But then let's say, you know what? Our goal is to win the AFC Conference. If we win the AFC Conference, hey, our goal is to win the Super Bowl. That's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not blaming the guy. Be happy. You're 2-0, okay? As I keep forgetting the basketball, we're talking about practice.
Iverson.
Right? So we're talking about 2-0, okay? One game at a time. I'm glad we're excited. I'm glad we're moving forward. But let's take it one game at a time, right? And let's not lose our eye from the goal. Super Bowl, conference championship, divisional championship. That's it. That's all I got to say, man. Have a good one, guys.
I'm just hoping we go 9-7, to be honest with you. But now, listen, I got no problem with the one game at a time approach. The issue that I have is people talking about a 2-0 team like you're sure they still suck. That's what I think is unfair, right? I mean, they've already exceeded some of the expectations out there. I mean, ESPN, their power rankings preseason had the Dolphins 32 out of 32.
You are fake news.
Like, according to those ESPN power rankings, not only were they not supposed to start 2-0, I don't know if they were supposed to win two games, period, according to those power rankings. And you still have Dolphin fans, after two victories, picking apart every little thing Ryan Tannehill does. Oh, he's still terrible, this and that. They're winning in spite of him. You're lucky to have five interceptions in two games. It's an aberration. That's not reality. Adam Gates is still terrible. That's what I have a problem with. I have no problem with a game-at-a-time approach. I mean, in fact, in 2013, the Dolphins started 3-0, and they finished 8-8 and missed the playoffs. So I'm not going to take 2-0 to the bank and say, oh, this is a playoff team. Listen, we've been 2-0 before and failed down the stretch. All I'm saying is don't act like they're 0-2 when they're 2-0. That's all that I'm saying. You can't take victories for granted in the NFL. Didn't Joe Philbin's Dolphins teach you that? I mean, how many times did, well, even Cam Cameron's Dolphins, you have leads in games, you snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. A lot of close games in the NFL. New England will have close games against bad teams. New England has already lost this year. Philadelphia, you're going to have good teams that have close games, but good teams will grind out victories against bad teams. This isn't college football. I don't believe so much in style points in the NFL, right? Like, if the Miami Hurricanes had, like, given up three touchdowns against Savannah State but still won by 50, I'm coming away from that feeling pretty terrible, right? Tomorrow, if Miami has to grind out a seven-point win against FIU, who's a 26.5-point underdog, I'm going to feel pretty badly about that for the Canes. College football, there are style points because there are levels to that game, right? You've got teams full of 3-, 4-, and 5-star recruits going up against teams with recruits that weren't rated in the case of a Savannah State. Style points are very real in college football. I don't believe style points exist in the NFL. Either win or you lose. And I'm happy with 2-0. I still don't believe the Dolphins are a playoff team, but I'm not apologizing for either of those two victories. I'm not going to pick them apart and say, well, you should have been more impressive than you were. I want to see the level of play rise as the competition rises. I believe the Dolphins can, should, and will beat the Oakland Raiders on Sunday. If they don't, we'll have a conversation about that. I believe they will be 3-0 going on the road to New England in week 4. And then I'm really curious to see how they perform against the Patriots on the road.
I remember that year that you mentioned, 2013. We were 3-0 heading into Monday Night Football against the Saints. Everybody was pretty hyped up. And then we just got destroyed.
Yep. So let's not do that. There could be a parallel there. You might be 3-0 heading into New England. Let's not get destroyed there, right? Because that could be a reality. Hopefully Danny Amendola has their entire playbook memorized, right? Hopefully he can – he's like the guy from A Beautiful Mind or the guy from Good Will Hunting. He's just got everything up there in that noggin of his. This is what Belichick is going to do. I can see it happen before it even happens. When we come back, we will get the FIU side of the Miami FIU equation. You know, when people talk about the return tomorrow, a few of you may be talking about Butch Davis, who once patrolled the Miami sidelines. He will now be on the FIU sidelines back. Well, actually, he never coached at Hard Rock Stadium, but back coaching against Miami. I think the real return for tomorrow is the return of Jason Mizrachi. We will talk to him about Butch Davis, Kenny Dorsey, FIU, Miami, and so much more next here on QAM.
Flags all over the place, and this is ugly. Police trying to restore order.
And that's what I'm talking about. You come into our house, you should get your behind kicked. You don't come in the OB playing that stuff. You're across the ocean over there. You're across the city. You can't come over to our place talking noise like that. You get your butt beat.
Well, that was quite a memory from 12 years ago. Certainly hope, and I don't expect you're going to see anything like that tomorrow. But I think it's fair to say that when you mention Miami FIU football, the image of that brawl is probably the first thing that pops into a lot of our heads, right? I'm trying to think more about the present and the immediate future. When you talk Miami FIU, there are three faces that pop into my head. One of those is Ken Dorsey, assistant AD now at FIU. One of those is Butch Davis, head coach at FIU. But the third face that pops into my head is that of Jason Mizrachi. And when people talk about the return, how about this, the return to Hard Rock Stadium? Jason, who's been a media guy for many years, has worn many hats. He is the voice of the FIU marching band, former voice of the band of the hour at the U. So when you talk about the return, you are talking about Jay Miz making his triumphant return. Hopefully not that triumphant, but his return to the press box at Hard Rock Stadium. He joins us now. It's probably the best intro you're going to get this week, my man.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to top Lamar Thomas and crossing the ocean, Alex.
Yeah,
I would say that was probably the highlight of his career, because right after that, his career was over.
Pretty much.
So we wish Lamar well over at Kentucky, but that's it for the broadcast booth for him. So that was I was there for that game that night. I was wearing the orange and green at that time, and it was probably not good for anyone. And if anybody remembers, a week later, Brian Pata was shot down.
Yeah,
that was a pretty tragic time for Miami and the program, and clearly with the tragedy with Brian Pata. But that was no highlight. But it's fun to look back at, and obviously tomorrow will be a lot better event, and should be pretty fun tomorrow at Hard Rock Stadium.
Well, Jason, I think about how far really both of these programs have come since that day, especially FIU, of course. Now that it's really becoming a serious football program down there on 8th Street. Like, what can you tell us about the evolution, the development with Butch Davis at the helm, coming off just a massive victory over UMass? The state of that football program right now.
Yeah. So the thing is with FIU, every week you see progression, right? And every coach talks about it in college football. They talk about progression in practice. They talk about progression in the game and execution. And one thing Butch Davis did very well, obviously, at Miami and both his time as a defensive line coach under Jimmy Johnson, and then clearly as the head coach from 1995 to 2000, and then now what he's doing at FIU, is he has that progression. And what you see is you see better play each week, play by play. And it's on both sides of the ball. Last week, what was interesting about that UMass game, not beyond the score, it was the first time FIU ever had a punt return in the history of its program. So if you think about that, it's the little things. And one thing Butch Davis does is he's got a great attention to detail. So clearly he's gotten the players not to play above and beyond their skill set or athletic ability. He gets them to play smarter. And you see that in the execution of plays. If you look at a guy like their quarterback, James Morgan, transferred from Bowling Green, you can see from the Indiana game where he shared time with Christian Alexander to where he is now, he's progressed dramatically. He's more comfortable with the offense. He understands the ability of both his backs, his tight end, and his wide receivers. And you saw that last week. We talked about it when I was on with you a couple weeks ago. We talked about C.J. Wharton, how that was a big deal for him to come over from Florida. But, we can't forget Tony Gator, who's been in the program, and what he did last week. So, and Palmer, their freshman tight end, got in on the mix. So you can see the evolution of play, and hopefully that plays off tomorrow against, a competitor such as Miami.
Yeah, what do you think matchup-wise, Jason, could be the area where FIU poses the biggest threat or the biggest challenge to Miami?
Coach Rick talked about it a little bit this week, is that, and he talked about if you recruit from South Florida, you have team speed, right? So the thing is that from a team speed perspective, FIU may not be on par with Miami is, because, Coach Rick has obviously had a little bit more time than Coach Davis has at FIU. However, one thing he could do is, and literally in what they've done and they've really honed in on, and I talked about it just a few moments ago, is special teams. That is a big difference. When you talk about field position, that's going to be important in a game like tomorrow, because the one thing you need to be able to do is, if you can't convert on third down or you're three and out, the matter of fact for keeping Miami is keeping them on the long side of the field. You can't give them a short field because they'll kill you. So the thing is because from between their special teams and their running game with DJ Dowd, there you're going to have a situation where you're going to want to have to control that. So field position is a big deal. So where FIU may have an advantage tomorrow is, believe it or not, is at special teams. Now, clearly, defensive line is going to be, it's going to be a big deal in the trenches, and that's where Coach Davis specializes in. But the other thing is, too, that's going to be really important tomorrow is that James Morgan plays within himself. He doesn't try to make the big play early. The fact of the matter is that you got to give and take, you got to take with what Miami's going to give you. And so you got to be patient tomorrow. And so one of those things is, Coach Diaz, I know, is going to be very aggressive defensively, and he's going to put a lot of pressure on FIU tomorrow. So what's going to be also important is how that O-line holds up. And the good thing about FIU is They have, I think, 4 out of 5 returning starters, and they play together as a unit together in all 3 games. So going into tomorrow is that those phases, special teams, defensive line, and offensive line, and I think that will help make the difference in making at least a competitive game, if not giving FIU the edge.
You know, something I'm anxious to hear you speak on, because you can certainly put this into words better than I ever could, given not only your familiarity with the Miami program, having been around it, but how familiar you are now with FIU's program. Just frankly, Jason, what would it mean for FIU to pull off an upset victory over Miami tomorrow?
Yeah, well, I mean, you've heard it's, I hate to use the cliche, Alex, it's a game changer, right? Literally. It elevates the program. It allows, you know, Butch Davis and the coaching staff to go into homes during the process of recruitment. Now, it's not going to necessarily mean that it's going to sway the kid that's going to Alabama or that's going to USC, or that might be going, you know, they're looking at Miami. But now it makes a conversation a lot more interesting and a lot more difficult decision for kids to pass up an FIU when FIU makes an offer. When you have if you had a marquee victory like that, and you go in and you show you went to a bowl game last year, and we talked about this at the bowl game, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago, that the difference he's made, he understands what he did at Miami, the state of Miami, right? So you go up the I-95 corridor, you go across I-4, and you come south. The same thing he would be able to go into somebody's home, into one of these high school recruits, and be able to have that conversation and say, look, we're on par. We are tops in our conference. But not only are we in our conference, we're competitive on the national level. And we're able to beat a team like Miami at home. That would be huge for them. And so it goes to all different phases. Not only does it help you during the course of the season, but it builds for the future. And that's really what's important. As you know, one thing Coach Davis, and you think about all the years at Miami, because when he took over that program in 1995, you remember they flew those banners over that said, you know, from national champs to national chumps. And I remember that vividly, you know, being a Miami alum. And I remember a couple years later, what he did was he was down 33 scholarships. And what he slowly did was he found those diamonds in the rough. He had the coaching staff to be able to coach those kids up. And eventually, what did he do? He led them to basically a 3-year run of national championships. There's no reason why they shouldn't have played in 2000 against Oklahoma.
They got
slighted there. They win in 2001, and then 2002, you know, we all know how that turned out, and they get robbed against Ohio State. So the fact of the matter is, I'm never going to say that this is going to be the leap that, you know, they're going to be in the conversation of Alabama and USC and Oregon and all that. But at the same time, it makes a big difference when somebody's making that decision whether to go to, you know, a UCF, an FAU, or one of another Conference USA schools, or potentially an ACC school, a Wake Forest, or any of those. These kids want playing time, and they want to play right now. But at the same time, and we've talked about this a lot of times, Alex, Coach Davis gets you in the pros. If you think about the legacy and all the kids that have come under his tenure, whether he was the D-line coach at Miami, he was the head coach at Miami, and now being in his second year over at FIU, these kids know that they're going to be able to play at the next level because of Coach Davis and his staff. So that's what it means to the program.
Yeah, and for all the years I've been doing pregame for Miami now, I remember when you used to be with the U, I'd see you before or during pretty much every pregame show. We take a selfie together. Now you're at FIU, but you will be back in the building. This is the return. Is it going to be surreal for you, Jason? And I hope you stop by and take a selfie with me at some point tomorrow during the pregame. Will it be surreal for you to be back at the old stomping grounds?
Well, I'll answer your second question first. Yes, we will still take a selfie because that's important to me. We're still friends, Alex, even though we'll be rivals tomorrow. But, you know, the thing for me is, look, I was proud to be the voice of the band of the hour. I did it for 10 seasons in some tough times. My first year was Larry Coker's last, and I remember going to the MPC Bowl in Nevada, announcing in Boise, Idaho in 14-degree weather. So you knew I was a Cane fan and a proud Cane alum at that time, and then went on to 10 more years and 10 more seasons at the U. But I'll tell you something. I'm excited. I'm thrilled to be working with director of bands over at FIU, Barry Bernhardt. He's one of the best in the business. You know, I've been around a lot of these guys. This is my 12th season as a band announcer. And I'm going to be pretty, you know, I'll be a little bit probably, there'll be some butterflies tomorrow, as there always are, in pregame, and clearly I'm going to only be announcing halftime tomorrow. But, you know, I'll be excited. A lot of fans, you know, I've seen them, whether they've appeared secretively at, you know, at an FIU game like Abel. You know, he came and saw me the other day.
Yeah, and you know what? I think Abel is on hold right now. Is that right, Hector? Is that Abel on? Is he on line one? So hold on. I want to. You know, maybe Abel wants to say hi to you. Abel, you there, my friend? Oh, that didn't work out swimmingly. I'm gonna put Abel back on hold. I guess Abel doesn't want to talk to you, Jason.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he wants to save it for afterwards. You know, he likes his own light. I totally get it, and he's famous in his own mind. But with that, Alex, you know, it's going to be fun to see a lot of these guys tomorrow at the tailgate. You know, one thing is, on Twitter, a lot of, you know, Canes fans have given me some grief, but a lot of them have still been loyal. And, you know, it's one thing is that, you know, they appreciate what I did in 10 seasons. And, you know, listen, I announced in front of crowds at noon, in the middle of the heat, and cheering, you know, announcing as if there were 65,000 fans and there was probably 20,000. So, you know, that's one thing that I've always took pride in. I was very proud of. And, you know, now over at FIU, it's been a lot of fun. The kids are fantastic over at FIU. We have a great halftime show tomorrow. And what's interesting about tomorrow is in the return, actually, FIU will be playing, they're combining the bands, the Band of the Hour and FIU. And courtesy of Fred Schiff, who actually created T-shirts for both bands.
That is cool.
And we'll read FIU UM tomorrow, something like that. Huh. That they will be wearing under their uniforms, and you know, in solidarity for band tomorrow. And then, of course, halftime. I will be excited, and we go on second, so I will enjoy that and being back. And so I'll definitely look forward to seeing all the guys, whether it's yourself or seeing. You know, Vic Bermudez or any of those guys over there. And so, you know, I still have friendships with all of you, and it'll be a lot of fun, and it'll be really exciting to be back at Hard Rock Stadium and
that is
to be
tremendous.
Able to announce.
And that's a really cool insight on the band tomorrow. I would not have known that if not for what you said. That's really neat. Jason Mizrachi, you want to follow him on Twitter, at Jason Mizrachi, Mizrachi. Thank you so much, man, and I look forward to taking that selfie with you tomorrow.
I look forward to it too, Alex. Thank you for always having me on. And like I always tell you, paws up, buddy.
It's all about the you. That's going to be like when we take that selfie tomorrow, it's going to be a symbol of unity, right? I'm going to be decked out in my UM gear. He's going to be wearing, I'm sure, a very official looking FIU polo. And yet we will be friends on that day. This is like, did you ever hear, Hector, that one of the years during World War I, on Christmas Day, like you had the French fighting the Germans. And on Christmas Day, they just decided, let's have a ceasefire today. It's Christmas. Let's all walk out of the trenches and we'll play some soccer together. That really happened, right? Like December 24th, either sides of the trenches, they're trying to kill each other. December 25th rolls around. They call a truce. It's Christmas Day. Let's sing some Christmas carols. Let's kick the soccer ball around. I think it was called like the Christmas Truce or something like that during World War I. Like these guys are shooting and throwing gas at each other on December 24th. On December 25th, they say, you know what? For today only, let's be friends. Let's hang out. Let's fraternize. And then tomorrow we try to kill each other again. Somehow that relates to Miami and FIU. I don't know what I'm doing there. 9 o'clock hour coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.